Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. I have wanted to preach this message for a long time. You're going to love this message, dealing with Israel, Romans 11. And if I can have a copy of those notes too, because mine are different, and then God bless you. I'm going to go ahead and get it from my anointed friend, Rich, my friend Rich, who I'm chasing. Can I have one of those? Thank you so much. You're all right. Appreciate you. Appreciate our ushers. From mystery to manifestation. From mystery to manifestation. Over the years, I've heard the phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles. I'm going to preach to you about that, and I'm excited about it. It is a very full word. If I don't get through all of it, we'll do part two, but being as tonight, we're going to preach till 11 o'clock. I'm just teasing. If we have people backslidden to hell on the children's side watching your children, and you know full well what I'm talking about. All right. Let's read the word tonight. Romans chapter 11. We do have notes. Romans 11, verse 25 to 27. Let's go ahead and read that. Are you ready? New King James on the screen as well. For I do not desire brethren, that's brethren and sistren. Let's all stand, can we? Sorry. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. That's good. God doesn't want you ignorant of this mystery. And if I could have a bunch of monitor in the front, that'd be great. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so Israel will be saved. Everybody say that. So all Israel will be saved. That is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Another text now. Luke in the 21st chapter, starting in verse 24. Really it's B, but it's the second part of the verse, Luke 21, 24b, all right? And Jerusalem, right there. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Let's all say that. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. What kind of glory? Great glory. Verse 28, final verse. Now when these things begin, everybody say begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption, oh God, draws nigh. Let's go. Lord, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh my goodness. The coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. This is a very powerful word, and I got to pray just a little bit more. Father, I pray, help me. Help me to articulate. Help me to preach what you've burned upon my heart. Help me not choke everybody with information. Lord, the amount of content is overwhelming. Help me give that which you want me to give so it will bring forth the result you want to bring in the hearts of every single person hearing. From Barrow to Ketchikan, Aleutian Islands, and Point Hope, and Kotzebue, all across the state of Alaska, all across America,
all across the nations of the world in India, the 84 churches in the Philippines that are on, all over the world. Do it, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to talk about the coming of the Lord. We're in a time frame right now that'll never come again. Time is an interesting thing. God is outside of time. You and I are in time. We have watches, chronometers, which is really an instrument that changed history. They didn't have watches in the first century. They understood time according to seasons. They had sundials and things, but there's a timing to the returning of Christ. There's a timing to that. And for certain, every generation since Jesus was crucified and resurrected, it's been the end of the age ever since then. But how many of you know 2,000 years go by and we must be closer than when we first believed? The end of the age is sooner than when they believed, certainly. And every generation held these things. They said things in Scripture like encourage one another with these things. Be watchful. Be mindful. Get excited because he's coming back. I remember hearing some messages early on in my walk with the Lord about the rapture. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about the fullness of the Gentiles, of course, here in Romans. But I had the attitude when I first got saved, I thought, don't come yet. I still kind of feel that way. And the reason I do is I just got started. I feel like I just got started. You feel like you just got started? I feel like I just got out of elementary school or something. I want to bring some heat to the enemy's camp. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven. I don't want him to come just yet. There's a timing. How many of you feel like that? I do. I feel like I was so stupid for so many years, and now maybe I have some wisdom. God help me. Anybody else feel that way? Want to lay something before him. I want to put something before his feet for all that he's done for me. Oh, I want to see a great revival. I long to see an outpouring. I long to see children dancing in the street and an overthrowing of everything that's ungodly. I want to see this fullness of the Gentiles. What is that? Understanding the mystery of the fullness of the Gentiles. To understand the mystery, you got to see these two texts. Romans 11, are you all there? Let me teach you. And here's what happens with me. I teach, and then I get so fired up, I start preaching. So I'm going to teach to you. It's a powerful pastoral word, but invariably I'll end up spitting and shouting everywhere. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. I'm not going to spit on purpose. Well, you never know. Anyway, welcome to Kings. We're glad you're here. Let's look at this. Romans 11. The church in Rome is made up of two groups of people. Who are the two groups? There's a hint right there. There's two hints. Jews and? Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Okay, there's only Jews and Gentiles. There's no Jews and anything. There's two groups in the earth today. There's Jews, there's Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. All right. Raise your hand if you're a Jew. You've got Jewish heritage. All right. I hope and pray that I am. Amen. My wife's like, we wish. Somebody said Gentiles are made because somebody has to buy retail. This text is profound. The church in Rome is made of two groups. And there's a remnant. See, what's happened is God has poured out his spirit there in Rome, and there's more Gentiles than there are Jews. And there's this Jewish remnant, a group of people, a remnant of Jews who believe. There's a remnant of Jews who believe, but there's another group of Jews that are blinded. Even to this day, the same is true. Verse 7, we didn't read that, but I'm going to read it to you. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. The rest were blinded. But it's a temporary blindedness. It's a judicial, a scholar said it's called a judicial blindness. Like literally in the heart of God, they are allowed to stay blind. You say, what do you mean they're blind? They're blind to the truth of Jesus as the Messiah, Mashiach. They're blind to that. They're blind to Jesus as the Messiah. They don't see it. They were blind in Jesus' day, and they're blind even today. But there are some whose eyes are open. But mostly, there's a blindness. That blindness is temporary. Everybody say the blindness is temporary. Okay, I'm not talking about actual visual sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. There is a spiritual blindness, a judicial blindness from God that's allowed. And it's interesting, we read it partly. Did you catch that back in our main text? That blindness, verse 25, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until. In other words, there's something about the fullness of the Gentiles, which I'll describe and tell you what that is, that has to happen for the blindness to lift in part. That's part of the reason. What is the other reason? I'd be speculating, and I'm not going to speculate. I'm in the midst of a study here. I haven't fully studied that out to actually understand what actually that means. What is the other part of the reason they're blind? And to be blind is to not be a believer. And you'll notice that Paul longs for these Jewish brothers to be saved. He longs for them. And so what he does, and I don't know, I've done this, but not regarding Jews, just regarding others. I repented because I don't think it's the Lord. What are you talking about? I have poked the bear at people who are believers but not spirit-filled. What do you mean by that? I don't know. I've repented. Don't look at me like that with that tone of voice. I've repented. You know, just how much joy we have and all the miracles that happen and all the provision that gets released and all the, you know, it's great to be a spirit-filled Christian. To be without the spirit and to white-knuckle it, dude, that would be lame. Well, at least you're saved. Okay, I'll give you that. But my God, I needed the fire of the Holy Ghost. Anybody else? I needed the fire of the Spirit. And so I have, on occasion, kind of poked at people who are miserable in their Christianity because they need a baptism of fire and they need a baptism of joy. We like saying it this way. It takes God to live for God. He doesn't expect you just to do it without resurrection power, and you can't give me any scripture for that. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's difficulty. Weeping endures for a night, but joy, J-O-Y, comes in the morning. And Paul longs for his Jewish brothers to be saved, and I long for people to be saved too. Raise your hand if you long for your family to be saved. It is the heart's cry of it's the number one prayer request every single week is that our whole family would be saved. Oh God, save my father, save my mother, save my brother, save us. Oh God, lift the scales from their eyes that the God of this age is placed. Save them. Come on, say that with me. Do what? Save them in the name of Jesus. Break off the blindedness in the name. We bind him in power. Set our families free for the glory of God. Save them. So that's the heart's cry of Paul as well. He longs for his Jewish brothers to be saved. And Paul magnifies his ministry to the Gentiles to stir up the Jews to jealousy. I mean, that is really something. He stirs them up to jealousy. Y'all in your notes? There will come a time when Israel will be saved. All Israel. Everybody say all Israel. Okay, well, what do you mean by that? Because don't you have to personally make a decision? Yes, you do. All Israel is a term that's used for the nation of Israel and the people, yes, but each one is going to have to make a decision. It's not like a blanket just gets thrown over Israel and they're all saved. No, they have to receive Jesus Christ like you have. They must be born again. There's no dual covenant. There's no two covenants. They don't get one deal and we get another. You need to understand that. Whoever teaches that, it's heresy. Because if there was dual covenant, then why would Paul say, I wish that I was anathema? Why would Paul say, if I was accursed, I wish I was accursed that my brethren could be saved? If there was two covenants, Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, would never have said that. And you wouldn't see this text like this either. No, this all Israel save is a collective term. And you see that like in the Old Testament, a nation, it'd be a nation saved. But each individual is going to have to make a choice. It's a future fulfillment, many scholars, especially Pentecostal scholars, talk about. It's a perspective of seeing a future national revival. And that is how I see it. That literally it's going to come a time, this fullness of the Gentiles, and we'll talk about what that is. The fullness of Gentiles will come. Fullness, completeness, time. Time will be over. That's it. There's no more time for the Gentiles. Gentiles are done. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Okay, your time's up then. At that time, you get no more time. It's over. And at that moment, there's some things that happen which we'll look at. It's going to trigger the greatest Jewish revival there has ever been. And it's in history. In fact, just to quote John Hagee, he says, when that happens after the rapture, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are released all over the earth. This is a study of eschatology, the end things, the eschatology, the things of the end. We're coming to the end. And there's a time frame. Anybody ever seen one of those hourglasses? Yeah, there's very little sand on the top. It's filtering through. He could come back tonight. Are you ready? You sure? I had a dream about the end. I've shared it without going into the whole thing. It was a fearsome moment, a terrifying moment where I knew it's over. And I could see the curvature of the earth. And I knew I had but seconds before it's over. And I knew it. And I remember laying hands on my head and on my chest. And I said, God, we're good. Are we good? I just did a check. And in the fullness of that dream, there was something I had to take care of. And so I immediately took care of it. And then I was ready. And I remember opening my eyes and seeing from the east, this shining, burning, brighter than the sun, come across the earth, and it was over. All of humanity was gone. And I was instantly in the throne room. There's coming a moment. There's coming a moment when the fullness of the Gentiles, when is that? When is the fullness of the Gentiles? This will happen. When will this happen, this fullness of the Gentiles? When will that come? It's a great question. You've got to look at Luke 21, and we will do that in just a moment because it also references the fullness of the Gentiles. But I want to say this, and I want you to hear me really clear. The moment you're in right now, this moment right here, will never come again. And furthermore, the moment we're in the world, will never come again. And if you think that you can just wait to give your heart to Jesus, you don't know when the end is. And if you say, well, I'm just not ready, what makes you think you'll be able to just pick that time? No, today is the day of salvation. The now is the time. This is a very special moment. I mean, I was pondering this with Pastor Karen, and I thought, how incredible is that, that we could believe, have faith. It's a gift. It's this grace that comes on us to actually believe. Oh, well, you could be blind. Some of you are, partially. Some of you might be here. Somebody brought you. You're online. You're like, what is that bald-headed guy saying? I'm telling you, you're separated from God because of sin, but God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And you must be born again. And here's the thing. There might not be another time that you ever hear that. Now that's intense. And there is actually coming a time when there will be no more time. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. For you. Maybe it's tonight. I don't know when that is. I'm ready. As far as I know. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. You need to hear messages like this. I wish the whole church was here. Thank God it's recorded. The fact that you can come to Christ is a special grace. Because there's coming a time when you can't. What do you mean? The fullness of Gentiles over, then all the Gentiles go, no, 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 there'll be people that are left behind. To quote my friend Dr. Bob Rogers, if you're left behind, don't join the army. Because if you join the army, you'll be fighting against God. And that is a battle you can't win. Luke 21, let's look at this. It's these two verses to have understanding, to have from mystery to manifestation, to see, to have understanding about this mystery, which we're not supposed to be ignorant. I was at a dinner or a lunch. I was eating food. I don't know what it was. I remember it had carbs. No, it was years ago. And I was sitting across from this brother who had such a heart for Israel. And as I'm sitting with him, I'm visited by the power of the Holy Spirit. Both of us are. Power of God falls at the table. And the Lord spoke to me and said, your ignorance about Israel needs to end. It was a real strong rebuke. It is from that time, and that's probably 15 years ago, you started hearing me preach more, tie things more into. You'll hear about Israel. We pray for Israel. I teach on Israel. In fact, it's pinned to the top of our YouTube page, why the church should stand with Israel. Someone told me it's the greatest message you've ever preached. I don't know if it's the greatest message I ever preached. I'm not like a message measurer. I just know that we need to preach and teach that. It's very, very important that the church understands our role relates to Israel and our responsibility we have to stand with them. It doesn't mean they're sinless. It doesn't mean that. It means we have an obligation to bless Israel and believe God for God's plan. Temporary blindness now, but it's one day they're going to see. And when we're gone, their eyes are going to be fully open. Yes, there's going to be people that get saved, but we need to be not ignorant about that. Not only that, don't be ignorant about the fullness of the Gentiles, because you're on a time clock, son, brother, sister, Bubba. Bump your neighbor and say, time's running out. All right, Luke 21, verse 24 mentions the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Fulfilled means it'll come to an end. The time on earth will come to an end. And it's a time of great distress upon the world. I'm right in your notes. Time of great distress. Verse 25, there'll be signs in the sun. Man, there are signs in the sun right now. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but man, how many, solar bursts do you have to have? Maybe we couldn't record them before, but I mean, the sun is just doing weirder things than it's ever done. It's just bursting and flaring and doing all kinds of things. How many blood moons do you have in a five-year period? I mean, there's so many blood moons. I was in India. This was intense. I was in India. I heard about the blood moon here in Hawaii and how amazing it was. But honestly, I hadn't looked at the moon. It was looking at traffic that was trying to kill us everywhere we went. And we got to this place, and I didn't share this on Sunday night, but we got to this place where it's a labor class. It's a caste system, although not for Christians because they don't participate in the caste system, but everybody else does. And I won't, some of you can share on that more better than I could, but they're the labor class. It's kind of, there's the untouchables, actually. There's the unseeables, the untouchables, and the labor class. We're talking abject poverty. Like, whatever level of poverty you have, it's way worse than whatever you have. So, there's no way that you'd be able to compare. Like, everybody here could most likely find, dude, you could go down and dig a burger out of the back of... I know about that. You could go dumpster diving and get yourself a decent meal. They can't even do that because there's nothing. And there's unseeables. Literally, they're not supposed to be seen. Most people don't know about that, but I heard about it. Unseeables, untouchables, labor class. We went to the labor class. It was in the shadow of this Hindu temple. A pastor had been killed in the adjacent town, and the other adjacent town, they beat the pastor who got up after he got out of the hospital and went back and preached again. It's one evidence that, I mean, hello, Jesus is alive. You can't stop somebody that can't be killed. Even when you kill them, their blood cries out from the ground, and then they get rewarded. Martyrdom, the gift you give one time. We went past that temple, and it was like we drove into, like, I don't know, it felt like we descended into the belly of a beast. It was super dark. Super dark, and yet we felt completely surrounded by God's power. I preached that night on the soon coming of the Lord, and there was a blood moon in the sky, and I referenced it, and it was like really intense. I guess you had to be there. Anyway, it's great when creation gives illustrations. A great time of distress is coming on the earth. And somebody said, what do you mean it's coming? It's here. Listen, if you're part of the persecuted church, you might think it's a tribulation now. You're going to say to stop the tribulation. They're losing their heads. I mean, all kinds of stuff is happening. We're in America. We're protected and blessed, and we're fighting all kinds of problems. There's a great war going on for souls, for sure. But this is amazing in that signs in the heavens will be seen. Great signs. The signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Look at verse 25. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. What in God's name does that mean? That means the nations are so confused that they've got no stinking idea what's happening. I think they might be that way now. Literally, whole nations don't know what's happening. Perplexed. Confusion. Confusion in every nation. He goes on to say, the sea and the waves are roaring. I mean, has there ever been as many tidal waves as we have now? Tsunamis? There is more birth pains and problems in the earth than ever before. Men's heart will fail from fear. I don't know if you've ever been afraid. I'm not talking about a little bit afraid. I mean terrified. If you've ever been terrified. I've been terrified before. I've been terrified by evil, not knowing the Lord. And I've been terrified by the Lord. I'm not terrified by evil now because I know the Lord. Let me say that again. I've been terrified by evil and it was horrible. And I've been terrified by the Lord. I am never terrified by evil now because I know the Lord. In other words, the terror of the Lord, I know to some degree. I'm not saying I know everything. I understand a little bit the fear of the Lord. He keeps me. He holds me. And a fool's goal where angels fear to tread. So I ain't just rushing on into anywhere. And we soak this trip to go into the belly of the beast and the shadow of this Hindu temple, driving past people that literally looked like they were zombies. And I'm not just using that term like for some hyperbole and great preaching. Literally, they look like zombies. They don't look like they're alive. Black eyes and standing there, unrelated. These Hindu, kind of Hindu temple people, I think. Just dark. There's so much happening. It's fear. So I'm not afraid of that, but I also know that when I wake up, hell's afraid of me because of who I am in Christ, and that's the way it should be for you. If you're terrified of the devil, you ought to take your Bible, go underneath your bed, and don't come out until you've read that enough to realize that you have power and you have authority and there's no devil in hell that can take you out. Come on, there's no sickness, there's no disease. Get filled with faith. Get filled with the faith. Understand who you are in God. You don't run like a yellow belly sapsucker, afraid of everything, terrified, wringing your hands in fear, wringing your hands in worry. You've got power. You've got authority. You're part of the end time army of God. Can you shout amen? But there is coming a time of great fear. Will we be afraid then? It was terrifying to realize in my dream. My dream was so real when I woke up. I woke up in my dream at the end of the world, the end of time, where I checked myself, and there was this bright light coming from the east. I woke up after that dream. It's a dream, oh God. It was so real that I woke up just fearful and like that. But that's the fear of the Lord. It's a different kind of fear. This kind of fear, men are going to hide themselves and hope that the scriptures talk about it, hope that things cave in on them, hope that the mountains cover them. So terrified. Men's heart will fail from fear. Fail, that means they'll have heart attacks. I mean, their hearts won't work because they're so terrified. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Wow. Come on, somebody say wow. Verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin, there's a key there. When these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. I mean, literally, it's going to get so wild and so intense. And you'll hear this stuff and stars will be falling and things will be happening. And then at that moment, be like, look up. And you'll look up and they'll be like, and be, ah! You get raptured on out of here. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. That's my human shofar. Hey, good God. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Oh, he's coming. Oh, my children, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't fret. God's on the move. He's on the move. And if you haven't gotten right with God, this is your time. But time is running out. The fullness of the Gentiles is coming. When all these things begin. Gosh, I've seen that. Good God. Hallelujah. Let's go. Roman numeral 3, thank God for notes. I'd call the keys right now and fall out. Jesus will return in a cloud with power and great glory. All right, when will this time of the Gentiles end? When will it come? When will it cease? When is it over? When is that going to happen? Jesus seems to indicate right from the verse we read, verse 28, I had you repeat it twice. When you see these things begin, everybody say begin. Seems that he indicates here when the time of distress starts to take place and these things begin to happen, look up. The Apostle Paul gives a time frame too, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn there. 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm teaching and preaching all at the same time. 2 Thessalonians 2, which is Spanish for 2. Verse 1, now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as it is from us, as though the day of Christ has already come. So why is he writing that? Remember, when you're reading the epistles, which is a Greek word for letter, you're hearing one side of the story. So if you hear, hey, don't be troubled because the end hasn't come. Somebody sends you a letter, somebody says something like it came from us, have no fear. What do you think's happening? Exactly that. People are sending letters. People are saying, oh, the coming of the Lord happened already. Welcome to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not feeling the love. I'm going to go over here. No, I'm feeling the love over there either. Jehovah's Witnesses have declared his coming over and over and over and over and over. And they use the watchtower as their prophetic declaration. There's other groups too. And then when I've taught you that you can go and look, but I mean, all of these declarations of when the Lord's coming. And then the last one, they realize, my gosh, I guess we don't know, but we better do something because we've said it so many times. They actually said, I think it's called the Great Disappointment. Actually said, he came. No, yeah, he came. He came. Yeah, no, he came already. Oh, how come we're here? Oh, well, he came, and his kingdom's here. Right, it's right now. This is it. Okay. And come on, somebody say, wrong answer. So that's what the Apostle Paul's dealing with. Not, let no one deceive you. Are you picking on Jehovah's? Yes, if we could pick on the ones that call Jesus Satan's brother, too, the Mormons. And you can pick on a lot of different groups. It's important to have right theology. We love all people, but doctrine's important. Everybody say doctrine's important. All right. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, notice it's in capital D, will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Wow, falling away. It's also called apostasy. Reveal the son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself amongst all that is called God or that is worshiped. So that as he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? It's very important to preach this. Evangelists need to preach it. Pastors need to preach it. You don't need a TED talk. You need to hear the truth that your time is short. My time is short. We need the power of God's word. It's time your redemption draws nigh. I mean, it's going to come all the way down. You got to look at it. You look at the end of the notes and you realize, well, how should we live then? We should live in purity and holiness and watchful and waiting and giving and serving because you don't know when the end is coming. You don't want to be in a pablum serving TED talk that tries to make you better. tries to impute your sin and wink at your wickedness and say that it's all right because God loves you. Yeah, he loves you. That's why he sent his son, was crucified for you, rose again from the grave. He does not wink in sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. God's people have wicked ways. And until we turn, you see, if you have a revelation that your time is short and that he's going to come, you live different. It's like you won't play with stuff that could possibly destroy you. You'll have a greater fear of the Lord. Somehow we got this into my son Daniel. Because when that earthquake happened, we had the 7.1, 7.2, or 7.0. I don't know which one it was. It was 7 something. And it shook this place. We weren't done yet. We were at home. That shake began to happen. I was talking to one of the board members who was asking me, why do we have such big steel? See the size of the steel? Well, I see other buildings that steel's so much smaller. I said, because we have a superstructure and it's designed to take a 9.0. This is not a flimsy building. This is far from a prop up, tilt up. You don't want to be in a tilt up when you have an earthquake. This thing is built to take it. Amen. And may we never have one. And all of God's precious people said, amen. Right. We had an earthquake, and that 7.0, I'm telling him, in fact, we have earthquakes. I'm on the phone. We have earthquakes, and when we have earthquakes, and literally it started shaking. It's literally started happening. While I'm on the phone, and I said, earthquake, it started shaking. God is my witness. And I said, in fact, we're having one right now. And it went from a little roller to a real shake. I honestly forgot. It was George Ostermiller. You can ask him. I left him on speakerphone and lost my ever-loving mind praying in tongues. I was all, I just lost my mind praying in my prayer language. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know you're baptized in fire when that's the first thing that happens. I was casting the devil out of everything. But the house is getting delivered. Came downstairs. Karen's under the table. I stood there. Rabba, shata, rabba, ka. I just prayed. You have the interpretation of what you just said? Because I heard that when praying in tongues, you need to have it. No, I don't. You Pharisee, for God's sake. It's my prayer language. Lift your hands to heaven. Our redemption draws nigh. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. My son was just listening to the book of Revelation. And when it happened, he was like, Lord, he thought he was going to get raptured and go to heaven. That's a good thing. Now you've trained your kid. There he is. There's going to be a falling away. Back in your notes. There's going to be. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, ha, ha. Go ahead. Ready, set, go. Ha, ha. Very good. Is your back okay from that fire-breathing dragon when you were on there? You're not scorched. Okay. There's coming a falling away. There will be a falling away. There's going to be a falling away. I don't think we read the whole text here. We need to do it. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you. We talked about Jehovah's Witnesses, so on and so forth. And there's others. Verse 4, this son of perdition, this man of sin, Daniel talks about him, the book of Daniel, the Old Testament, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember that I was still with you, and that's where I started preaching, because people need to hear this verse 6. And now you know what is restraining. Oh, really? What is restraining? It's a good question. Apparently they know, but we don't necessarily, but we can take some guesses at it. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he who now restrains will do so, notice it's a capital H, will do so until he is taken out of the way. I want you to say, he's holding it back. I say it again. He's holding it back. Capital H. And then verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume. He doesn't even need to do anything but breathe on him. I know some people that have bad breath. But this is the kind of breath that just consumes the devil. We're talking serious breath here. Come on, somebody say that's serious. There ain't no breath meant to take care of that. It's the breath of God. And it has nothing to do with being foul. It's the breath of the Almighty. Will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is in accordance with the working of Satan with all, listen closely, all power, signs, and lying wonders. What kind of wonders? Lying wonders. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send, just like Romans 1, a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's coming a falling away. And the man of sin or lawlessness is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be revealed and declare himself to be God. And the whole world will be deceived. You say, well, not me. I ain't going to be deceived. You know, the funny thing about that is you might be already. You say, well, I'm here in church. I know. But deception is anybody could be. Could you be deceived, Pastor? Yes, of course I could be. Anybody could be deceived. So you make it your very diligent aim to be in the Word, to be in accountability, to check yourself. I've known people that just make up all kinds of plans and they end up, well, out here somewhere thinking they're doing the will of God and they end up totally deceived. There is doctrines of devils. There are demons. There are false teachers. Stay away from all that the babble. There's so much babble out there. Just learn the Word. What about the pyramids? Oh, there's blue people and there's water. There's water and blue people in the stairway that goes all the way down. Oh, yes. Man, serve God. Let God sort out the blue people or whatever. I don't know if you're supposed to know about it. Oh, it's the hidden things. I need to go deeper in God. You drowned. You went so deep, you drowned. You lost your love. You lost your fire. I can't preach in here. You haven't witnessed anybody just so tweaked about all the stuff. Am I the only one? You know what I'm talking about? This thing is like this sucking sound that wants to pull you into conspiracies. And it is kind of creepy when most of the conspiracies come true. But just let the Lord work it out. Don't lose, people that focus on that stuff, lose their love for God. Focus on Him. Focus on His return. Focus on living holy. Focus on reaching the lost. Focus on pleasing God. Focus on worshiping Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, because our redemption draweth nigh. Come on, somebody say amen. Where am I? I was so impacted when I was studying. The power of God came on me. I was like, ooh, the end. Ooh, Jesus, I'm alive at this time. Ooh. Come on, somebody say, ooh. Satan will work through the Antichrist. Y'all there? Satan can deceive many. Satan will work through the Antichrist, all power, signs, lying wonders. Satan can deceive. And his strategy is very simply. Pastor Karen, are you missing some? Can I help you? You're my best friend.
This one, the blank is revealed, declaring. Okay.
Antichrist.
The world will be deceived. Okay, thank you.
Very good. Satan will work through the Antichrist, all power, signs, lying wonders. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's like when Moses was in Egypt, he threw the rod down and became a what? A snake. What did the knuckleheads do? Same thing, except Moses' snake ate the other snakes. All right, but those are lying wonders. What did Moses do over the Nile? Became blood. What did they do? They did the same thing, except they couldn't turn it back. I mean, those are lying signs and wonders, and it happens today. Just because there's some miracle doesn't mean it's God. Any, 1 John says, any spirit that comes and does not acknowledge Jesus coming to flesh is not of God. Don't you go somewhere bamboozled by a bunch of signs and wonders and miracles and craziness, especially if it doesn't give glory to God. If Jesus is not honored and declared Lord, then it's not of God. I don't care what happened. I don't care how many dead people got up. Creepy. That's scripture. Satan can deceive. His strategy is the following. He'll delight in wickedness. I just write this in somewhere. There you go. They'll delight in wickedness. That happens now. Oh, my son, when he was born. Obviously talking about somebody else. My son, when he was born, well, he knew he was a girl. So, you know, we just knew he was a girl too. And so then when he was 7, we started, you know, really coaching him and training. But then he became 8 and we got blockers and we just did all the things. And so it's, here he is. This is my daughter. And they're proud of it. They're proud of actually the wicked. It's wicked. It's playing God. You're born a male, you're a male. You're born a woman, you're a woman. They delight in wickedness. And you see, there's so much of this, I've got to move on. They refuse to believe and love the truth. They refuse to believe and love the truth over and over and over. I was witnessing to this guy at the gym. You guys all right? All right, I'm almost done. I was witnessing to this guy at the gym, which I do frequently. And as I was witnessing to him, I was arguing about the canonicity of Scripture and how the Book of Mormon is not Scripture. But he argued with me that it is. And I proved to him that it wasn't. And because I had just been in the class about canonicity and was studying all that, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But go, listen, this is not a bunch of fables. This is the most accurate historical book in all the world. And it is the number one bestseller ever since it came off of Gutenberg's printing press. It is still number one. The New York Times doesn't know much. It still is, even though it might be on their number one list, it still is. It is the number one seller of all time, the Bible, which means the book. It is the book. And so you need to know that this is actually God's word. Well, I don't believe it's God's word. But you don't have the moral integrity to go find out if it actually is. And the reason people don't do that is, one, they're lazy. Two, they don't want to really know. Because if you do really know, then it has to bring you to repentance. It brings you to the place where you're like, then I'm in trouble. Yes, you are. You need a savior. Every integrous scholar that I know of that went out to prove that this is not God's word all got converted. And there's a whole list of them. They refuse to believe and love the truth. God will give them over to a lie similar to Romans. I need to hurry. Give them over to a lie that they believe in. You know, you can insist on your own way, and then God will let you have it. For they'll be condemned and perish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, it says this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive shall be caught up. Everybody say caught up. Caught up, parousia, is the word that people use for rapture. It's caught up is the actual word. Rapture. Somebody said, well, there ain't no rapture. You ain't going to find that in Scripture. Yeah, no, you're right. It's not. It's the word here, caught up. And scholars use the word rapture. It's the catching away. The rapture takes place. And this is what Paul is referring to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this restraining, verse 6, you know what is restraining, that it may be revealed in his own time. Very quickly, the restraining could be, when that's removed, what is the restraining? It could be government is completely dissolved. Someone said that there's such a massive world war that there's no more governments, and so there's no more restraining. How many of you know government restrains evil? How many of you are thankful for the police? Can I get an amen? How many of you are thankful for the military? Can I get an amen? How many of you are thankful for governmental authorities that still institute what is right, hopefully, but biblically. Sometimes they institute things that are not right. But it could be the dissolution of government due to a massive war. It could be that God's angels have simply restrained the Antichrist and now they're no longer restraining him and he's revealed. Or number three, it could be the Holy Spirit working through the church that's restraining. And so then when the church is no longer here, think about how many believers are. Tiff Shuttlesworth does the best job of this. And I'm just tapping it to be a good pastor. Nobody preaches that like Tiff Shuttlesworth. Could be that once the church is gone, then there's nothing to stop anybody from doing anything wrong, and they just people go for it. They're restraining the power of the Holy Spirit. We can escape what will be coming on the world. This is going to come. We can escape what will be coming on the world. Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus said, Look up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Come on, everybody say, look up. Look up, lift up your head. Say, lift up your head. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Luke 21, 34 to 36. You must be watching and praying always that we be counted worthy to escape. Worthy to escape. Wow. All the things that will come to pass so that we stand before the Son of Man. My goodness. Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 10. Therefore, let us not sleep. Keys, please. Thank you. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Now, sleep is, Paul uses the word sleep for death because the death for the believer is not the same thing as death. It's sleep. But there is a spiritual slumber. Don't be spiritually asleep. Be watchful and sober. Put on the armor of God. And it's quite a Bible study here. God didn't appoint us to wrath. Everybody say that. God did not appoint us to wrath. It's verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, go there, please. A couple more scriptures and we're done. The fullness of the Gentiles, we're moving to it. When will it happen? There's some indicators here, but nobody really knows. And if they tell you when then they do know, then they're wrong. Because scripture gives us indications. And those indications are screaming at us in many ways. There's coming a time when time is no more. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked up and behold a great multitude in which no one could number all the nations, tribes, people, and tongues standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who've come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes, they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Go to Revelation chapter 11. What a passage of scripture. And verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, those who worship there. But leave the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Wow. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood, to strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord is crucified. Then from these people, tribes, tongues, nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. Verse 10. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts one to another, because the two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. And great fear fell on all who saw them. They heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. The earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. We are living at an unprecedented time in history. How should we live? 2 Peter 3. Therefore, since all of these things, verse 11 and 12, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking for the hastening or the quickening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, very simply, we're to watch. We're to watch and pray. Say it with me. We're to what? We're to watch and pray. Write in your notes. Watch and pray. We're to love people. We're to what? We're to love people. Thank you, Mr. Projector Guy. You're doing amazingly. We're to love people. We're to be hospitable without grumbling. We're to minister one to another with the gift that God has given you, given us. And lastly, glorify God in everything. Lift your hands to heaven. Very strong word. If this was your last day on earth, if this is it, now by the way, nobody knows. Man is given but one life to live. Some of you are playing with things you should not play with. You're on the way to deception. You're dabbling in things, speculating about all kinds of stuff and shying away from that which is real and true and sure. You have God's word before you. Read it, know it, share it, live it. And it's a life of joy and a life of hope, a life of power, a life of authority. And then he rewards you for overcoming all the challenges. Draw near to God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not right with God at the closing moments of this service, give your life to Jesus tonight. Don't wait. If you're not right with him, all the way across all the broadcasts and all the platforms we have, you want to get right with God for the first time. Number two, you want to make a recommitment. You need to recommit because you drifted in your walk. You're not as on fire as you used to be, and you know full well. It's a miracle of God that you're here tonight or hearing this message, maybe in the future even. He's calling you by name. The fullness of the Gentiles is a time clock. The sand is running out. And he's going to come. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to come. The rapture will come. You don't want to be here after that. You don't want to be here. You don't want to harden your heart as they did in the day of rebellion, Korah's rebellion. You don't want to come up with some newfangled way of how you can live for God, how much sin you can get away with and still be right with God. And anybody that teaches you along those lines has totally lost it. They're reprobate. It's wrong. It's messed up. There are doctrines of devils and doctrines of demons all over the internet. You know what? The internet will never take the place of this. Why is that? Because the very word fellowship, you need to touch and to see people. You need to see your leaders around you. I live my life out loud. You can see how I treat my wife, and I'm going to do better and better. But you know what I'm talking about? I live out loud before you. I hope and pray that I'm an example of what it is to serve God with a heart transparent. There's a place in God where the yoke will break. There's a place in God. Don't play religious games. Don't play religious games. It's horrible. You'll end up in deception. Don't worry about the blue people under the pyramid. What are you talking? Don't worry about it. Don't even go look it up. Be excellent in what is good. Be innocent of evil. Don't worry about the fabricated stuff, whether there's aliens or, you know, how come there's no aliens? Just serve God and shut it. Pray, ask God to show you. After that, don't contradict scripture. Be on fire. Live for God. Wait for the soon. He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? All across this place, are you ready to go to meet him? Are you ready? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Are your sins forgiven? Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you cleansed? Or do you have compromise? Are you playing religion? Give your heart to Jesus. Prepare to meet him. This could be the moment. I've had services. I feel it like that tonight for whatever reason. I've had services where the Spirit of God is driving me, not unlike right now. And I've had people that did not live to see the next day. They died. And I don't wish death on everybody, and I also know that all of us will die. You must be right with God every day. Get right with him. Live for him. Live an uncompromised life. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be a living sacrifice. And furthermore, what you're trying to get through that shenanigans and sin and doing things the way you want will never satisfy you. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy you. Don't live with a compromised conscience. Quit shacking up in your house. Quit looking at pornography. Quit lying. Quit stealing. Ephesians talks about that. Come on, put on the new man. Reject all that stuff. There ain't nothing there for you but death. The wages of sin is death. Okay, I think I hit the bell. You're here tonight, give your heart to Jesus first time. Or number two, you want to recommit because you drifted. Every head bowed, every eye closed, online as well. The count of three, slip your hand up. You say, that's me. I want to get saved. I want to get born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to let go of my old life. I'm going to receive resurrection power. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed. I'm coming to Christ for the first time. Or you're coming back to him because you've got compromise. You have a duplicity in your life. You're going to recommit your life to him afresh and return to your first love. On the count of three, if you fit in those categories, raise your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand high. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Over on the right side, lift your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. In the middle section, if that's you, you want to get right with God, first time or recommit, raise your hand to heaven. Praise God. No one then in this middle section. Over on this left side, thank you, boys. Appreciate your honesty. Anybody else? Get right with God tonight. All right, stand up on your feet all across this place. Father, thank you for these. If you raised your hand or you didn't, but you know you need to be included in this prayer, step out from where you are. Meet me right here. Come on, come. It's a good time to clap, church. Praise the Lord. You're called to preach. You're called to preach. You're called to preach. You're called to preach. Give yourself to discipleship. Learn the word. You have a fine mind. You're going to grow in the word. You're going to become big and strong. And I'm going to use you like a trumpet. I'm going to use you like a shofar. And when you sound off that sound, it's going to draw people. It's going to break open the hard hearts. I'm going to anoint you afresh, says the Lord. You've made a decision for me that you got sidetracked early on in your life, and then you just kept kind of coming back and forth and back and forth. But this one, this is different. Something has happened, and I affirm that to you prophetically. I don't know the story of your life, but I affirm to you that you were called. Even when you're in your mother's womb, there was an unusual thing about your birth and about your pregnancy. Ask your mama if she can. You're a very special individual, and I'm anointing your voice. I'm anointing you. The season of discipleship starts. It has begun. Tie yourself deeply into relationships that matter, and I'm going to raise you up and use you powerfully to turn the battle at the gate. Holy Spirit, fire. Come on. Come on. Give God a hand clap all across this place. Pray with me right out loud. All across the church, pray with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to forgive me, wash and cleanse me, make me new. I repent for all of my wrongs. Come into my heart, Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray, fill and touch these now. Holy Ghost, come. Release your power over each and every one. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.